It is in relationship with God that we are protected, and He comes sometimes to protect us from ourselves. Dear friends in Christ, we have a direct communication with God. It comes from James chapter 3. It's about the tongue and the habits that we form, sometimes even when we are not aware. Despite all the news of the floods and of the waters and of the winds and their destruction, we have had more again recently. I saw it in a drone picture flying over a subdivision. The whole neighborhood in California was reduced to ashes by fire. One elderly couple maintained their lives by hiding in the swimming pool, which itself became nearly a boiling pot. Did you know that Charles Schultz, the comic book creator of Charlie Brown and Lucy, his original home from the 70s, though he passed away in 2000, his wife Jean was still living there. It burned to the ground with a great deal of his memorabilia. So one has to say, fire can be horribly dangerous, can't it? And in fact, many people did lose their lives in that tragedy. Then comes this word from James, where he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. How many of you have ever played the game telephone? It's familiar because it's often done at outings or parties, but actually used in education by teachers. Why would teachers use a game like this? Because what goes in one ear on this side and is reproduced through a series of people comes out differently on the other end. If you put 10 people between what is whispered here, it comes out quite a different story over here, doesn't it? Have you ever seen that? And the teachers are trying to describe for the children that there can be damage done. That something spoken with no real hurt intent can take off and run. And in fact, James is going to remind us that when the tongue has a habit of whispering and of saying things that shouldn't be said, it can cause a great forest fire. It can burn a person's good name or reputation to the ground. So let's take a look at that today. As we talk about this, God trims gossip before it sparks a fire. They actually advised out in California that the people that were in the path of the fire would trim back at least 100 feet so that there could be a gap where the fire would not jump across. I don't even think in some cases that would have spared it. God trims gossip. Let's look at the damage a loose tongue can do, but also the good, what benefit a good word can give. Damage? Well, a tongue can spark a forest fire of hatred and hurt. God speaks clearly to our everyday activities. And this is not just a set of ancient ideas. This is very apropos to what happens at school, at work, even in the community of Christians. There are pressure points that we've talked about, and then truths. Usually the pressure points come out of Scripture. Today, I just want to use mathematics and describe. If you told a piece of gossip to somebody once a week, one person, and you did it for 6 months, and each of them told one person once a week for 6 months, do you know how many people would be affected in the end? 65 million people would have heard that in 6 months at that rate. It's exponential, isn't it? And according to the experts, I don't have their names, but again, doing research, sometimes these are loose statistics, but according to the experts who study this kind of thing, that dialogue about another person who is not present fills what percentage of people's talk? 60% of the dialogue is about people who are not present. I want to talk about this because I would venture a guess they're not in conversation about Jesus. And by the way, he's present even when you don't see him. It's usually about someone that they shouldn't be talking about. It's a conversation like this. You'd never believe what so-and-so did when we were out together. Maybe had too many drinks. Maybe said some things they shouldn't have said. Maybe went too far in adult behaviors. Or you'll never believe what she did to her husband when he didn't go the direction she wanted him to go. Now, it's a problem, and it starts small and can scatter out in the cubicles of a workplace or around the desks of a classroom. But have you thought how exponential it's become? Called Twitter, called Facebook, called the internet. That when you light a little fire and you give a little juicy information, how far it can go and how long it can last. Amazingly, in today's world, it is a real problem and a real sin. It is the effects of the Word of God that change this. It's not Pastor Wagner's opinion, but this is right here in the book of James. Be careful with your habit of the tongue. Now, I want to look at a couple words here that are on the screen. The Greek there, it sounds like whispering. Psithyristos. Theristos. You can hear that whispering. And it means a talebearer. And the other one, fluoroi, is gossipy, foolish talk. You know, some people will, according to one author, some people will believe whatever is whispered to them. But here's what the Apostle Paul will say. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity. And here's the word, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So write it down. Circle it. Bold it. Because more than likely, if you were to take the test on a scale of 1 to 10, what would it be? Would it be a 1 or 2, or is it going to be in that 5 or 6 range that's average? Perhaps this is the one of the games that you play with God. And today, as we dialogue a little bit about this, I want you to see that this is a point where God calls us. In Ephesians 5, the whole gamut of sins, one of them is about foolish talk. And he likens it to idolatry. People will say, but Pastor, that's the very point. It's so common that we don't even realize we're doing it. It's just part of what we... Okay, can anybody come to my office and in privacy tell me what good comes out of gossip? Truly? You see, this is a matter of eternity, yours and mine. And I'm certainly not just pointing the finger out. I'm talking right to my own awareness of people. I have a function as a pastor, but also one of those functions is the eighth commandment, isn't it? For all of us to guard, not to tear down. And it can result that if we are not careful in separation from God. A quote from Berkeley was so... It stood out so big that I wrote it down, you can guess, from Berkeley. Gossip gets a bad rap, this is what a professor says. It actually plays a critical role in the maintenance of social order. Really? Scripture says that gossip can kill. It can wound. In James, he says, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. You know, it doesn't kill like a weapon that hurts or maims the body, but it certainly can slay a person's self-worth. Emotionally, friendships are hammered. The devil loves to keep this separation going so that if something is discovered, we somehow drop it because we want to see the effect of that secretive news on someone else. Here's what Proverbs 18 says. Those who love to talk will experience the consequences, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. In fact, a working definition Gossip is telling something about another person without their permission. That doesn't mean you can't talk about other people. You can do that in a neutral territory. We can talk about Aaron and the fact that he was pushed over and he broke his collarbone. But if we were to talk about some aspects of Aaron's life, and the intent was to make the eyes big or have a person respond, if the intent was to draw people in because it's juicy and unknown, then maybe we have crossed the line. And the ultimate reality is this, that often this sin shows more about the person who gives it than the person who is receiving it. All of us have been betrayed at some point by someone who took our story as a public game and turned it into embarrassment. And our trust was reduced to ashes. Our wholesome event or occurrence was exploded and reduced. How can we stand by and watch if a person's name is being destroyed? You see, gossip is the most deadly microbe. Unseen at times, it has neither legs nor wings. It is composed entirely of tales, T-A-L-E-S, and most of them have stings. Winston Churchill was a man of integrity right up until the end as he was ruling after the World War II in England. He went to a ceremony and was sitting in the second row, and the occasion wasn't about him, but it was a big, pompous affair. He overheard a couple of politicians a couple rows back from him. "That's Winston Churchill. Yeah. Some people say he's going senile."
"Oh, really?"
"Yeah, they say that maybe he should step aside for some of those dynamic young men that are coming up now." And they went on like this. Churchill shook hands, greeted them, and then just as he was about to turn away, he came back and he goes, "And they also say that Winston Churchill is deaf, but I'm not." Learn what benefit a good word can be. He says, "Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers, this should not be. With the mouth we praise God," and that's really the goal or intent of the mouth. In Matthew, Jesus says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So he's saying what is at your core will come out of your mouth. And you and I know that sometimes it's a bitter attack back because we were wounded or hurt. Have you ever taken your loved one's name and emptied it? A spouse, a brother, sister, a friend, a child. Maybe it was just the crazy uncle or that wild sister that is driving you insane, but you poured out something that probably could have hurt them. To be honest, if there's 60% of people that are doing this, then it only tells me that's a problem here and here. It's a problem that we need to understand leads to one place, and it leads to the cross. It leads us back to the need for a Savior. It leads us back to a God who, despite our sin, has spoken good words. Can you imagine what our world would be without the word of grace, without the word of forgiveness, without the Savior? And coming into a world that was condemning him for things he didn't do and would punish him to death for the sin that is ours, Jesus is the one who has released us from our guilt, as he did earlier in this service. You see, he didn't judge. When Peter would betray him, he wouldn't gossip about Peter, but he would go direct. And it was with that call that he would call him to repentance and bitter tears. He would try to do the same with Judas, but Judas wouldn't have it. And from the cross, he would say, "Father, Father, forgive them." I hope that you understand how critical it is to stop these games. Gaming to be God by gossip. Our Savior is the one that forgives us despite what we've said. And we need to learn how to reflect our Savior. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. This is one of the problems with me clicking, is I am always behind. A new life. What happens when the Savior forgives us is it recreates us. He takes control. It goes from being a loose tongue to a controlled and careful use of a person's name. In fact, in Psalm 119, he says, let no sin rule over me. And do you see that Psalm 141? It should be there. There it is. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. One author put it this way, and it's a neat little mnemonic. It's an acronym, T-H-I-N-K. Before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? You know, we watch as Jesus defends. He defends people, and he builds them up instead of tearing them down. He sets them free. The adulterous woman was brought to him, and he said, who's left to condemn you? And she said, no one, sir. And he said, neither do I. I forgive you. But he also said, go and sin no more. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. We can live differently. We can honor God and help our neighbor instead of tearing them down. In fact, this is exactly what Luther had in mind. You see the explanation. It's something that most of you have by memory. We should fear and love God that we do not lie about our neighbor, tell lies, betray them, or give them a bad name. But what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to build them up, defend them, speak well of them, and then I learned, put the best construction on it. And kids think that's like only when you have drag lines and building products. So we've changed it. Take their words and actions in the kindest possible way. If you're in the middle of a game of telephone and it's going to tear somebody apart, you need to break it. Stop it. Let God trim it so that the fire will not jump across you. You see, it says in Scripture, love covers over. We need to be the ones that put out the fire and end a ravaging, raging rumor. We're called to build up, not tear down, to live in His grace, and to honor God and our neighbor. Now, habits are hard to change, aren't they? You ever try it with a diet? It takes determination. But it starts by saying, I want to. And if we want to, God will use our tongues for good. And that good word will be of great effect. We can and we will use our tongues for good. Lord, help us. Amen.